this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. Let's jump right on in with this one from Better Homes and Gardens called Room Service. After four seasons of co-starring on the Netflix hit show Queer Eye, interior designer Bobby Burke has the experience to say that you don't need to gut a room to transform it. We caught up with Burke about how he solves real-life decorating challenges in style. One, an instant fix for any room, curtains. Naked windows are not always the best for all rooms, Burke says. I love bringing in texture and softness through window treatments. Whether that means you use a Roman shade or floor-to-ceiling panels, the textiles will do a lot to soften hard lines. Burke recommends linen curtains. They're thick enough to hang gracefully while allowing light to filter through. Two, find your style. Ask yourself about things that have nothing to do with design. What's your favorite TV show or movie, dream vacation, destination, fashion role model? Gather photos and think about what they have in common. Similar colors, a sense of humor, a certain era. Write a list of those traits and use them to edit furniture and paint colors. Three, where to save? Rugs. Rugs can be so crazy expensive and you literally walk all over them. Scrimp on rugs. Just make sure you're not getting one that will shed forever because that's going to drive you insane. Four, where to splurge? Bedding. You spend 20 to 30% of your life in bed. It should feel like when you go to a nice hotel and the sheets are smooth and crisp. Five, think of your home as a charger. When we get home at night, we always plug in our phone because we know it doesn't get a full charge. If it doesn't get a full charge, it won't last to the next day. But we don't think of ourselves as a phone that needs to be recharged. Your home is that charger, and you need to make sure you're getting back up to 100% every day. Five, lighting is vital. Every room needs three kinds of lighting: directional, task lighting, ambient, overhead, or recessed lighting, and accent lighting, like table lamps and candles. Without all three, a room doesn't function or look as good as it truly could. And last, a rule to live by. Things that are done in threes give more impact, Burke says, but you don't need to think about it so literally. That rule can apply to the number of materials used in furniture, the heights of objects or a vignette, or even the tones used in a painting. Next, from Martha Stewart Living, The Buddy System. Navigating life's ups and downs is much easier with a good friend by your side. But now there's even more reason to carve out time for these important relationships. Recent studies show that they increase your disease-fighting powers and longevity. Here's how to prioritize your pals and improve your overall well-being. We have lots to thank our friends for, from swooping in when the pet sitter flakes to being there when the going gets tough, to listening to every little detail. But a growing body of research reveals that these stalwart companions do more than just have our backs. They can make us healthier. A 2016 University of Oxford study found that young adults who had large social networks were able to tolerate physical pain better because they had higher levels of endorphins, the body's feel-good chemicals. The researchers had them fill out a comprehensive personality questionnaire and, separately, squat against a wall. Differences in physical fitness were factored into the results. For teens, having five or more mentally healthy friends can cut the chances of developing depression in half, per a 2015 study from England's University of Warwick. Friends bring benefits later in life, too. A 2011 study out of Rush University Medical Center in Chicago concluded that the rate of cognitive decline was reduced by about 70% in socially active elderly adults, compared with those who socialized less often. And on the flip side, going it alone is now being recognized as a real and quantifiable threat. Lacking social connections carries the same risk for premature mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and exceeds the risk associated with obesity and physical inactivity, explains Julianne Holt Lundstad, Ph.D., a psychology and neuroscience professor at Brigham Young University in Utah. The science is straightforward. We're social animals. When we are around trusted others, we feel safer, says Holt Lundstedt. By contrast, feeling isolated puts us on high alert, which can interfere with sleep, raise blood pressure and levels of the stress hormone cortisol, and gradually rev up inflammation. Time with friends quiets that fight or flight response. It also provides a unique kind of emotional support. Unlike family or coworkers, friends choose to be in our lives. When they show up for us, it's incredibly validating. It helps us feel appreciated for who we are. Adulting can make it hard to maintain these bonds, however. After around age 25, our friendships start to dwindle in number, according to a large 2016 study done by the University of Oxford in Finland. When we're younger, BFFs are as close as the top bunk at camp. Grown-ups have fewer built-in opportunities, and social plans often get stuck in rain-check purgatory. We come to see friendships as a luxury for when we have time to indulge, says Kermayer. The sad consequence, nearly half Americans suffer from feelings of loneliness, found a 2018 Cigna survey. And data from the 2006 General Social Survey indicates that the number of people with no close confidants has tripled in recent decades. Thankfully, the solution is a no-brainer. We need to take these relationships just as seriously as we do diet and exercise. In other words, make like a middle schooler and put your peeps first. 1, go for quality over quantity. Having a few close friends is better for you than having many superficial ones, says William Shopik, Ph.D., an assistant professor of psychology at Michigan State University in East Lansing. What is most beneficial is how you feel about the relationship. Are you supported? Will they pick up the phone in the middle of the night? Those are the ones you should invest in. Then safeguard your investments. Try this. Team up for routine tasks. Experts agree that frequent hangouts are the super glue of strong ties. So when life is crazy, get creative. There are things we all have to do, says Barbara Greenberg, Ph.D., a clinical psychologist in Weston, Connecticut. Why not check them off together? Book double manicures, or sync up to volunteer, or vote. And keep the vibe positive, since experts say it's easy for catch-ups with a bestie to devolve into venting sessions. Share wins, too, says Shasta Nelson, the author of Friendimacy from Seal Press, 2016. Describe the high you felt finishing that 5K. Ask your pal about her upcoming vacation. You want to leave each other's presence feeling better than when you arrived. Next, make a commitment. It is a truth universally acknowledged that when we fall in love, our other relationships suffer. For 21st century proof, see the movie Old School. In fact, we lose 2 friends on average per a 2015 University of Oxford study, and that's short-sighted. In 2 trials with nearly 280,000 subjects, Chopik found that for older adults, supportive friendships were a stronger predictor of health and happiness than relationships with family members and spouses, because we tend to spend leisure time with friends, while more obligatory relationships can often lead to mixed emotions and stress, he says. Try this. Set a standing friends date to talk about a book or catch up over a meal, suggests Andrea Bonnier, Ph.D., author of The Friendship Fix, Thomas Dunn Books, 2011. She finds monthly meetups to be the most manageable and therefore successful for busy people. A recurring get-together takes the pressure off, too. If you can come, great. If not, see you next time, says Bonnier. Just having it on the calendar gets the momentum going. Next, engage offline. Social apps create the illusion of a robust community, but science indicates that the more time we spend on them, the lonelier we feel. In 2018, University of Pennsylvania researchers tracked the time 143 college-age subjects spent on Snapchat, Facebook, and Instagram. They then asked one group to restrict themselves to 10 minutes per platform per day for 3 weeks. Those subjects reported feeling measurably less depressed and lonely. One possible reason is that we have a limited amount of social capital, i.e. time and energy, and scrolling eats away at it, says Melissa Hunt, Ph.D., the study's lead author. Try this. Check in more intentionally, says Nelson. Use posts to jumpstart meaningful face-to-face conversations. Some people are likelier to share unfiltered struggles when talking rather than typing, research shows, and those exchanges can build trust to keep bonds tight. Self-disclosure has also been known to decrease our likability. And while a video chat is no substitute for an in-real-life hug, experts know the world is big. FaceTime qualifies too. Unless you're Rachel or Monica, you probably don't see your soul sisters every day. That's a reference to Friends, the TV show. That's why it's beneficial to cultivate weak ties or people you run into regularly but don't know well. The cheerful golden doodle mom at the dog park. The kale whisperer at the community garden. Gillian Sandstrom, PhD, a psychology professor at England's University of Essex, conducted a study asking subjects to count using mechanical clickers, the number of times they talked to such people over a six-day period. Participants reported feeling happier on days with more clicks. We go through life trying to get things done efficiently and don't make time to engage, Sandstrom says, but even quick hits of connection can increase your sense of well-being and reduce loneliness. Try this. Put down your phone and say hi to the crossing guard or the barista who starts your latte the second he spots you. Says Sandstrom, research shows that both sides enjoy these exchanges more than they anticipate they will. Next, from Woman's Day, baby your heart. If you or a loved one is pregnant or planning to get pregnant, here's some heart-healthy advice. Get a heart health screening. Only 6% of women who died from pregnancy-related causes had previously been diagnosed with heart disease. Know your numbers. That includes your blood pressure, cholesterol, blood sugar, and BMI, that's body mass index. If yours are high, talk with your doctor about changing lifestyle shifts, such as changing your diet or walking more, which could give your heart health a boost. Look out for red flags. Signs of heart trouble, such as swelling or being exhausted or out of breath, often mimic pregnancy symptoms. If it's hindering daily activity, absolutely go to the doctor, says Suzanne Steinbaum, DO. Being tired at the end of a walk, for example, is normal. Being so out of breath that you can barely make it a block is not. And last, be vocal. You know your body best. If you suspect something is wrong, don't accept a short, even if well-intended, "you're fine" from your doc. Speak up and get the answers you need, says Dr. Steinbaum. Using the words, "I'm scared, it's my heart," can trigger a whole chain of events that will get you taken care of. And a little side note says, be proactive. Preeclampsia doubles your lifetime risk for stroke. So talk to your doctor about ways to counter this risk now. From Family Circle, Family's Health Checklist, sprains and strains. Is it a sprain or a strain? They sound a lot alike, and they look a lot alike, too. You'll have pain, swelling, and soreness. But sprains happen when a ligament is stretched or torn, while a strain is an overstressed or torn muscle or tendon. Sprains tend to happen suddenly, think slide tackles in soccer. And strains are more apt to happen over time, like when carrying heavy boxes into a dorm room all day leads to back spasms. A mild sprain can heal after a few weeks, but a severe sprain may take a year. That's from the National Institutes of Health. And there are a couple of side headings here. First, prevent injury. Whether your teen plays on a court or on a field, on feet or on wheels, here's how to ward off sprains and strains. First, variety. Kids start specializing in sports very young. Seriously, your kid is 15 and has been playing competitive soccer for more than a decade. As such, I see a lot of repetitive overuse, burnout, and injury, says Cordelia Carter, MD, pediatric orthopedic surgeon at Hassenfield Children's Hospital at NYU Langone. Try to use your body in different ways and work on different muscles for overall balance. Rest. If your teen works out every day, doesn't take breaks between sports seasons, or plays multiple sports in a season, they're putting themselves at higher risk for injury, Carter says. If your kid won't take a season off, encourage 2 rest days per week. Sleep. Research suggests that you're more likely to have a sports injury if you don't get enough sleep, Carter says. Don't walk it off. Both strains and sprains can be serious, so don't just walk it off, as the saying goes. If pain doesn't go away in a day or two, see a doctor, says Ann Sudoff, MD, orthopedics and sports medicine specialist at Essential Health in Duluth, Minnesota. Seek medical care if your pain is getting worse or if, 1, you're experiencing numbness or tingling, 2, you're limping, 3, pain is interfering with your daily life or sleep, and 4, if you have fever or chills, which could be a sign of infection. Stock these supplies. When your daughter twists her ankle, you'll want these basics handy. An ice pack or a bag of frozen peas in the freezer. You can ice an injury ASAP with either of those. Use ibuprofen to bring down swelling or acetaminophen to relieve pain. Try a menthol gel like Biofreeze to provide some cooling relief at the site of the injury, or use an arnica cream like Boren's Arnicare Gel, which may help ease soreness and swelling. Even better, the Feel Good Labs Natural Pain Cream contains both. In case your daughter's ankle's still bothering her slightly before her next game, keep a Mueller Sports Medicine brace or support handy, but if she's relying on one to walk, she's not ready to go back to her sport. And should you see a physical therapist? Physical therapy can be expensive, but Carter says it's worth it. If you don't retrain the muscles to work in concert after a bad injury, it can lead to more injuries in the future. A physical therapist can give you exercises to do on your own, making even one appointment beneficial. From Real Simple, Modern Manners column, Catherine Newman, the etiquette expert, offers her advice on your social quandaries, and we have two of them today. First, CM asks, how do I properly and politically correctly address correspondence to a blended family? My granddaughter lives with her male partner and children from two relationships, all of whom have different last names. I'm never sure how to address cards, invitations, and announcements to them. I don't want to offend anyone or leave anyone out, but I can't figure this out. Please help. And the answer, make a genuine good faith effort, which you will or you wouldn't be asking, and your family will give you the benefit of the doubt. If they don't, then that, as the young people say, is on them. My general approach is this. List all the first names on the card, all the last names on the envelope. For that latter, arrange them in alphabetical order and separate them with slashes, since hyphens presume joined last names. If there are hyphenated names in the mix, simply include them. The Elkali / Jackson / Park - Patel / Smith family. This method happily errs on the side of thoroughness, while simultaneously calling this motley named household what it is, a family. And J.E. asks, I'm never sure of the right thing to say in the event of a tragedy, whether in a card or in person. Sometimes I worry so much about saying something insensitive that I don't send the card at all. Could you recommend a few kind sentences to offer a grieving person? And the answer, think of condolences this way. A grieving person experiences the breadth of their community, with everyone saying in different ways, I am here for you. The content is less important than the fact of adding your voice to the chorus of support, and it can take courage. It can be frightening to talk to a sad person, but push through. Keep it as simple as you like. I'm so sorry for your loss, and I'm thinking about you. He was my favorite uncle, and I can't imagine how much you'll miss him. Or add a favorite memory or poem. Just avoid silver lining platitudes or potentially unshared religious beliefs, such as she's in a better place or God needed another angel. On the very off chance the recipient takes offense, know it's because they needed a hook to hang their grief on, and you bravely offered one. From Good Housekeeping, some health and wellness tips. First, the Ask Jackie question is, canned pumpkin good for you? Yes, no need to break out the big knife, hack the hard squash, and scoop out the goop. Just buy 100% pure pumpkin instead of pumpkin pie mix or other canned options that have added sugar. 1/2 cup of canned pumpkin packs more vitamin A than a serving of kale. 20% of your daily potassium, and 3 grams of fiber, making it immune-boosting and heart-healthy. Sub it in for cream in sauces, or I love mixing 1/2 cup into plain low-fat Greek yogurt with cinnamon, nutmeg, and a drizzle of honey for a protein-rich nosh that satisfies my seasonal sweet tooth. Fresh pumpkin is amazing, too. Roast slices for a dinner side, and the seeds for a nutrient-dense snack or topping. Next, we move on to some recipes for you. First, a quick chicken salad. This is from Martha Stewart Living. Here's what you need. 2 cups shredded or chopped cooked chicken meat. 3 tablespoons mayo. 1 scallion, thinly sliced. 1 celery stalk, finely chopped. 2 teaspoons fresh lemon juice, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper. Those are to taste. Combine the first 5 ingredients, season with salt and pepper, refrigerate in an airtight container for up to 3 days. This takes 5 minutes active and total time and makes about 2 cups. The next one, crispy chicken nuggets. This is also from Martha Stewart Living. You need 4 boneless, skinless chicken breasts, 2 pounds total, cut into 1.5-inch pieces, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, 1/2 cup Greek yogurt, 2 cups panko, vegetable oil for frying. Season the chicken with salt and pepper, toss with the yogurt, let stand at room temperature 15 minutes or refrigerate covered up to 2 hours. Coat nuggets with panko, padding to adhere. Heat 1/2 inch of oil in a large straight-sided skillet, preferably cast iron, over medium-high until panko crumbs sizzles when tossed in. Working in batches, cook the chicken, turning halfway through with tongs until golden brown and cooked through 4 to 5 minutes a batch. Transfer to a wire rack-lined baking sheet, season with salt. Remove and discard any bits of coating with a slotted spoon before cooking the remaining batches. Active time's 10 minutes, total time 35, and that serves 4 to 6. From Real Simple, sesame scallion noodles. Active time and total time are both 15 minutes, and it serves 6. You need 1 pound spaghetti or other long noodles, 1/2 cup of tahini, peanut butter or almond butter, 3 tablespoons soy sauce or tamari, 2 tablespoons grated fresh ginger, 2 tablespoons fresh lemon or lime juice from 1 lemon or lime, 1 tablespoon toasted sesame oil, 2 teaspoons granulated sugar, 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt divided, 1/4 cup vegetable oil, 1 bunch of scallions or about 6 thinly sliced, and 2 tablespoons toasted sesame seeds or chopped toasted nuts. Cook spaghetti in a large pot of boiling salted water until tender, 10 to 12 minutes. While the spaghetti cooks, combine tahini, 1/2 cup water, soy sauce, ginger, lemon juice, sesame oil, sugar, and 1/2 teaspoon salt in a food processor. Process until smooth, scraping down the sides of the bowl as needed. Drain spaghetti and rinse under cold water. Toss with tahini sauce. Heat vegetable oil in a medium skillet over medium-high. Add scallions and cook, stirring occasionally until mostly golden, 2 to 3 minutes. Season with remaining 1/4 teaspoon salt. Add scallions and vegetable oil to the spaghetti and toss to combine. Top with sesame seeds. Next, from Better Homes and Gardens, spiced papaya cranberry granola. Hands-on time, 15 minutes. Total time, 1 hour and 50. This serves 16, by the way. We need 2 cups regular rolled oats, 1/2 cup dried cranberries, 1/2 cup dried papaya, 1/2 cup chopped pistachios, 1/2 cup chopped walnuts or cashews, 1 1/2 teaspoon ground ginger, 1 teaspoon ground turmeric, 1/2 teaspoon fine sea salt, 1/2 cup maple syrup, and 1/4 cup olive oil, and 1 tablespoon apple cider vinegar. Line a baking sheet with parchment paper. In a large bowl, mix together oats, cranberries, papaya, pistachios, walnuts, ginger, turmeric, and salt. In a small bowl, whisk together maple syrup, oil, and vinegar. Drizzle over the oat mixture. Stir to coat. Spread mixture on the baking sheet in a single layer. Let stand 20 minutes. Preheat oven to 300. Bake 45 minutes or until toasted, stirring every 10 minutes. Let cool. Store in an airtight container for up to 2 weeks. From Better Homes and Gardens, Sweet Relief. These are fruit-infused frozen pops that you make yourself. And there are 3 different ones. First, watermelon cherry. Your ingredients, 3/4 pound fresh watermelon, or about 2 cups cubed. 1/4 pound thawed, frozen, or pitted fresh cherries, about 1/2 cup. And 1/2 teaspoon stevia sweetener. Actually, the instructions are the same for all these, so I'll just give you the ingredients for the other two. For the cantaloupe mango flavor, your ingredients are 1 pound fresh cantaloupe, or about 3 cups cubed, 1 cup thawed frozen mango, about 1/2 of a 16-ounce bag, or 1 pound of fresh mango slices. And for the honeydew kiwi cucumber option, you need 3/4 pound fresh honeydew, or about 2 cups cubed, 2 kiwis peeled and sliced, 1/2 cup peeled chopped English cucumber. Add ingredients into a blender or food processor. Puree 2 to 3 minutes until very smooth. Place a large fine mesh strainer over a bowl. Pour in the fruit puree in batches if necessary, and stir with a silicone spatula to strain the juice from the pulp. Press gently on the pulp to extract as much of the juice as possible. Divide the juice between 4 3-ounce ice pop molds or paper cups. Freeze for an hour. Then insert Kraft sticks if using paper cups. Freeze until solid, about 3 to 4 hours or more. A little side here, sweeter fruits like melon are great for those with a muted sense of taste. Side effects from treatments may include cavity-causing bacteria, so keep brushing and try adopting salt rinse. And that's about, for people that are undergoing lung cancer treatment, Icy Pops also offer relief from treatment-related mouth pain. But they say be careful, make sure you brush your teeth, I guess. And one more here from Good Housekeeping. We've got the cocktail of the month, Orchard Old Fashioned. Apple cider replaces the sugar to lend tasty fall flavor to this classic drink. All you need is 2 ounces of bourbon, 1 teaspoon cider syrup, which you have to look up how to make that, 3 dashes of bitters, and 1 strip of orange peel for that cocktail. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have questions or comments, call us 919-832-5138.